Welcome to Church at the Well podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name's Kevin. I'm the lead pastor of Church at the Well. Everything's different today, so we're a little bit off, and so just kind of bear with us. Today, we're celebrating mission, and if you have not been to Church at the Well before, then what you do need to know is that we are all about mission. And one of the things, when I was growing up in church world, so I was raised in California, I went to a pretty large church, and the concept of mission was kind of foreign to me, because what it meant was there were individuals who left for a certain period of time on what we call the short-term mission trip, and that was mission. So we just kind of lived our lives in a regular living and just did what you did, and then every once in a while you would go on mission. Well, that's wrong. The Church of Jesus is supposed to be on mission every day. So Church at the Well, we say we exist to make disciples of Jesus who worship him and find their greatest joy in bringing him glory. Part of that, a big component of that, is not just understanding the gospel and kind of dealing with this fire insurance thing where one day, okay, yes, I know I'm going to die and I know I'm going to go to heaven because I put all my faith and trust in Jesus and what he's done in the gospel. But it's an opportunity for us to live out the gospel every single day. Now, just before I bring Pastor Fran up, I want to talk a little bit about Boston itself. We have a huge mission field here. It's massive, right? In Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 6, it says this. So when they had come together, they asked him, so this is Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. This is our call. This is what we're called to do. So we'll focus a little bit on Boston and then we're going to move on, but Boston currently is, by the statistics that we've been told, is 2.4% evangelical. 2.4. That's the new numbers. Just came out not that long ago. Which actually is up from what we said previously. It was like under 2% at some point. But the reality of that is there's not a lot of Christ followers in our city. Those statistics include what we would consider denominations that actually aren't following Jesus. So it just comes down to, does this denomination claim to be evangelical? It doesn't mean that they're actually teaching truth and that the gospel is at the forefront. So we know it's lower than that. To put that into perspective, per capita, there are more Christians in Iraq than Boston. And that's a difficult thing to process. Boston, at one point, was this place where the Great Awakenings were happening and revival occurred, and now it's one of the most lost cities in our country. One of the interesting things about Boston is it's considered the Athens of America. We have more than 100 universities here in Boston. And one of my favorite statistics is that, and I think I actually shared this last week, 25% of the world's leaders are educated in this city. So we don't know who we're talking to, ever. And so one of our big pushes at Church at the Well is, yes, we want you coming, we want you in community, but the point of the community is not to put a brand of Church at the Well out there to have it be about us. It's to get you, Christ followers, who are claiming to know Jesus and living out the gospel on mission wherever you are. And we send a lot of people, a lot. I think with the transient nature of our city, I couldn't tell you the number of people that have come through here. And our prayer is, as you come through, we might have you for a year, we might have you for 6 months, but we hope that they'll come to faith in Jesus and that we're sending them to do kingdom work wherever it is that they're going. But we want you on mission at work, at home, at play, when you're in your neighborhoods. Now, that mission extends beyond Boston. And so what we're going to be celebrating today is some of the opportunities that the Lord has opened up for us as a church to support other church plants. I mean, so Church at the Well itself, in the last 13 years, we've helped plant 3 churches. We've opened 5 nonprofit coffee houses that serve as evangelical opportunities. We'll talk a little bit about that later. You're sitting in one, right? But through all of that, it's also opened the door for us to partner with other individuals in other countries who are doing and attempting the same thing. And we're this little, small scrappy little church in East Boston who's tempting to help people get on mission, and the Lord has blessed us with opportunities to help others as well, and that's beautiful. So first of all, thank you for doing that. So today, we are gonna be talking mostly about Spain, but before that, we also partner with a planter in Turkey, Pastor Krim in Turkey. We send a lot of money by our standard to Turkey and to Spain because they are doing something very unique. Not only are they planting churches, but like us, they have a desire to raise up ministry leaders so that more churches get planted. And so Pastor Krim has a school of ministry in Turkey, the Boston School of Ministry, which you guys have helped start and we're continuing to build. That's partnered with Gateway Seminary in California, is an attempt to raise up more leaders here in Boston, and so I'm going to encourage you to be a part of that. We partner with the school that's in Turkey, and we've also been partnering with the school that's in Spain. And the hope is that all of those schools will eventually be working together. I know I've been asked in next year in 2025 to go to Turkey and teach at the school. And so that's you guys and your influence going and helping raise up more leaders to see more churches planted. So I'm gonna invite Pastor Fran to come up. He's here with his family. He's from Sevilla, Spain. We just sent a team out there in November. And we're gonna have a little conversation here in front of you. So we're just gonna talk and ignore them. But let me pray first. God, thank you so much for what you continue to do in our lost world. Lord, we know that we live in a broken world, and we know that Jesus is the only hope. Lord, it's always encouraging to know that even this little church in East Boston gets to be part of what you're doing around the world. And so I thank you for Pastor Francisco. I thank you for his family. I thank you for the work that they're doing in Sevilla. And Lord, as we just talk about what you're doing there, we ask that you would convict our hearts, encourage us, help us to be generous in what we do and how we live. And Lord, if nothing else, encourage those who are here to be on mission wherever they find themselves as well. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fran, welcome. Here you go.
Oh, thanks.
I want to give you that.
All right.
Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and your family maybe, and tell us a little bit about you.
So my name is Francisco, and I am a Spanish national. I was born in Spain and came to Christ actually in the States. I moved to the United States when I was 12, and there's where I Jesus saved me, and I met my wife, who's here today, Rebecca, in college, and we have three kids, Sarah, Lucas, and Hugo.
Let's go. Woo! Very cool. How long have you been married?
So we've been married a week from today, it will be our 17th anniversary.
Nice. Well done. Very cool. You want to share anything unusual about your wife? I'm kidding. She's like, no, you better not. Do not take that bait.
I want to celebrate our anniversary in peace.
Good job. See, he's a smart man. Smart man. So tell us what's going on in Spain.
So the work in Spain is, actually, our context is very similar to your context. Our city is... also has a ton of history with Roman Catholicism, with the Spanish Inquisition, even older than that. We lived really close to ruins that were over 2,000 years old, so very historic, but also very secular at this point. And it's actually, our city is, it's a blend of secularism and deep tradition, which makes it a really complicated context, because most of the people that you meet either are so traditional that they're afraid to think outside of what they know, or they're kind of have moved past God and they think that they're too sophisticated and that they don't need God anymore.
I know that there was, in this slideshow that you have here, there were some statistics. Could you tell us a little bit about the city and what's going on there?
Yeah, so 700,000 people in the city, in the urban center, which I think is that similar to Boston?
It's very similar, yeah, actually.
Fourth largest, second most Roman Catholic churches in the world, which I didn't know that till recently. And obviously we're trailing Rome, but also a huge university town, probably not as big as Boston, but we have 75,000 students, which means it's about 10% of the city is composed of university students. So our church always has a lot of university students as well.
Now, one of the things I remember when we were there, there was a big opportunity for you guys to reach the students that were coming from the United States. Is that correct?
Yep.
So what does that look like?
So every semester, we get probably 30 to 40 study abroads from all the universities in the States. They come, lots of times come because they need a church home while they're away from home. And a lot of times they come because a friend has invited them, and we've gotten several students who were not even Christians who end up finding Jesus far from home in Spain and become a beautiful part of our church family, which is the last Sunday I was in Spain, we baptized a Hungarian girl. She grew up in Oman, which is it's largely Muslim majority. Her parents were atheists. And she came to Spain and felt super, super depressed and lost. And as an agnostic, kind of prayed to God, and God led her to our church, and she became a Christian, and we baptized her the last Sunday I was there.
Praise God. That's awesome. So, yeah, that's worth some applause, I think. I mean, you've been in Boston several times. So how do you compare, like, what you see here in Boston with what you see in Sevilla?
This is my third time, and I think the similarities are that I think there's a lot of people that are looking for a better life in our city, kind of like in Boston. I mean, you're in a neighborhood full of immigrants, and we love that. There's also a lot of people that have it all together on the surface. So they have relationships, they have work, they have health, and they have youth. And so it takes a work of God to even wake them up to the reality that they're lost. And so there's also like a lot of things to do where we live. So people that come on Sunday really need Jesus and really want to follow him, because they could be on the water, or they could be at an event or something else, right?
So, two football teams,
yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
No.
Is that a political thing, or is that no. You don't actually have a favorite?
I'm from Madrid.
Yeah, okay, so, well, fair.
Yeah.
So you do have a favorite.
Yeah. Just not a local one.
Very cool. So church life in Sevilla, like, talk to us about what that looks like.
Well, our church has some of the same core principles that you guys have. We're all about the gospel, first of all. We're all about community, and we're all about the mission. So Christ's message of salvation is what unites us, and that should unite us in a really deep way, right? So we do life together because of that unity and that faith in the gospel. And then, like you said, community is not an end to itself. It's a means that drives us to the mission. So we want to bring more people to the family of God, right? So that's, I think, kind of what describes our church, those three values.
So what does, like, church life look like for, like, the average individual that's coming?
So Sundays, we gather at 11:30, and then we have, if you are just a member of the church, you're going to be meeting with us in one of the small groups. We have seven small groups, I believe. So you're meeting regularly in a smaller setting. We do a lot of things together, like play soccer. We got to play with your team. I got to see Tanner kind of fly around. We're still all amazed how such a big guy can just levitate. He levitates. And we'll have a Wednesday morning prayer meeting where a bunch of people come, and we have breakfast together, pray together, read the Bible together. We also are very evangelistic, so There's some people in our church with different passions for different types of evangelism. So we got people that go out and meet people on the streets. We have people that open up their homes. We have people that go to the city center and preach. So our church is very active in evangelism, mostly life-on-life evangelism, so a lot of relationships. And we have a ton of kids at the church, so there's always something going on with the kids. We have, I think, 17 kids that are 3 years old and under, and 2 pregnant ladies.
Nice.
And so there's a lot of youth in the church. So yeah, I'd say that by God's grace, it's in that church that's alive. You can tell that. Matter of fact, this girl, Chepka from Hungary, one of the things she said to me is, the first time I came to church, I think it was the first time she ever went to an evangelical church. She said, first thing I noticed is that you guys were truly alive. And I thought that was a great description of what a Christian is. Someone that is alive, right, in Christ.
Very cool. I know recently you guys have moved into a new building.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. What's going on there? And
yeah, I think we got a couple pictures there of the building. Our church has been borrowing space since we were born 12 years ago, which I think we have similar birthdays.
Yeah.
And we really believe that we needed to find our own space. Now, fortunately, Sevilla is not like Boston. It's very expensive. And that's Chepka getting baptized there. Keep going. Sorry. I forget the order of these pictures. Yeah, there you go. So we found that building in the city, and it has it's huge. I always forget the square meters in the square feet. I know the square meters. It's 1,300 square meters.
We don't do the metric system. Sorry.
Someone here knows.
Yeah, somebody here knows how to.
We're in Boston.
4,000? There you go.
4,000 square feet.
Math guy. Love
in the city. And the cost of it, now think of this. You're in Boston, so this is a bargain, right? 570,000 euros, which is probably like $600,000 for 4,000 square feet in the city.
What?
Yeah, it's like we said that's crazy. Now, when you talk to a Spanish church, you also got to remember that Spaniards are earning about, a family earns probably about $30,000 a year, okay? So to them, that's a huge investment, right? So we really struggle with that as a church. Well, should we do it? Should we not do it? Is this too much? Is it right? And we kind of just pushed it, put in the back burners, and the Lord kept bringing it before us. And eventually, it was clear that this wasn't accidental. We believe that's the building God wanted us to get into. So we told our church in Spain, listen, in order to be able to get into it, we've got to put 10% down, right? And that's 57,000 euros for a church in Spain. It's a lot to ask for. We already had money put aside from the church, but we have to raise 25,000 in just a week to get into it. So our church stepped up and raised that money from our congregation. Most of that money from our congregation, we were able to get into it, put 10% down. So we were able to enter this property, but now we have 3 years to find a way to pay for it. So either get financing, pay for it, whatever. However we can, the Lord will figure this out for us, we're sure. But we have 3 years then to execute the purchase, and that would give us a home, a place where we can preach the gospel for the long haul, right? And so we're really excited about this. I have some pictures of the building faces. So we're trying not to invest too much in the remodelations because we first want to pay the building off. But we did need to do some things to it to make it appropriate. So we just, in September, we have a team coming from Houston, Texas, that's going to help us build the children's classes. Nice. I don't know if there's any of you do drywall work, but we're bringing some people to do drywall. So they're doing a building project for us. So we'll finish the children's classes, and then we won't invest any more in the remodelations, and we'll focus on fundraising to actually pay the building off. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
the school training center.
Internship program.
Thank you. How's that going? What's been the impact? That kind of thing.
So you guys have invested heavily in this, and I have a picture of the interns. If you can, next one. There you go. So those are the guys we trained for 2 years. And from your left to right, that's Jose, Jonah, Josh, and the guy on the second to last on the right side, Enrique. Those are the four guys we trained. And basically what we're offering is kind of like scholarships so that they can study full time and focus on studying and practical ministry experience 40 hours a week for 2 years. And these are guys that have a desire to pastor, to plant. And so we just wrapped up the first class. We would do pastoral classes, we would do preaching classes, and then we would plug them in different ministries. And so the guy on the left, he will be moving to the States to do ministry. The second guy on the left, he's in the Dominican Republic right now, and he's gonna move there to help a church plant. So that's, to us, that's a dream. The vision is, missions isn't for Americans. Missions is for Christians. So our church in Spain should be not only giving, but also sending, so that the world will be reached with the gospel. So we will be sending Jonah to the Dominican Republic to help a church plant. Josh will be moving back to the States. He was actually a college student in our church, study abroad, and he felt burdened to come back and plant churches in Europe. And he's coming back here for seminary. He's going to go to Southern. And then the guy on the second to last, right between me and my brother, he is going to be planting a church out of our church in the next year or two in Algeciras, which is like the port town that gets you into Morocco. So that's kind of the fruit of the 2 years. And you, what you guys have invested, the fruit is for men that are able to, hopefully will be pastoring in the short term.
It's beautiful. Awesome. Good work. Greatest needs right now. Like, what does that look like?
So our greatest needs right now, it would be in relation to the building. We have to find a way to at least save up enough to where we can get a loan after turning some cash, or just to pay for the building. The Lord could do that. So probably in regards to the finances for the building. Then also pray. So we're going to take a year off from the internship and focus on sending Enrique out, the guy that's going to be planning a church. And we will be starting with new interns in September of 25. We have one guy that's already in the new class, and he's excellent. But we really want to find the best possible interns we can find, because A, our time is precious. B, we're responsible to people like you who are giving financially. So we want to find really good interns for the next class. These guys were awesome. And we want to find quality guys like that. And we're looking for two more. So pray that the Lord will send us like the right guys.
Awesome. So what about any individuals out here interested in going to Sevilla by chance? No? Nobody wants to go, Fran. I'm sorry.
She wants to come back.
They want to come back.
Girl in the back. All right.
You
just committed your life.
What would a trip to Sevilla look like for these guys?
So I told Christy last time she was when she was with us, I think the best thing we could do to bond our churches together is come either in the fall or in the spring when church life is at its height, and just get you guys in our rhythms, getting to know our people, hearing their testimonies, them hearing your testimonies. And so it'd be a lot of, we could probably do a lot of small groups, a lot of college outreach as well, university outreach, because of your language, unless you speak Spanish, put you with English speakers so you can also minister. Some fun stuff, like doing a little bit of travel, and also maybe some sports, seeing the city, and then just fellowshipping with the leadership as well. That it's life-giving just to have meals together and just spend time together, where you know, you're not necessarily giving, only giving, but you're also receiving encouragement. So it would look something like that. Probably a week long, I'd say.
Now you've sent teams here as well, at least, well, one. We've had one group come, and some really interesting things came out of that. I know at least with one person.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't tell you I was gonna ask you this, but
yeah,
would you share that story with our crew here?
So we were here 2 years ago, almost exactly. I think we were here, it must have been like the 2nd or 3rd of August of 2 years ago. And we brought a missions team from Spain, and a lot of those, some of those guys were kind of like, you know, they were part of the church, but not really all in. And then one guy wasn't even a believer. And what the Lord did here in the life of our people was tremendous. Two of them actually, when they came back, they got baptized. They made a profession of faith in Christ. So it was so precious. We were gonna do it again this year, but the dates didn't line up the best, and I wasn't sure that I was gonna be able to organize it right. So hopefully we can come back with a team.
Yeah. One of the goals that we have with Spain is that we really want this to be a partnership. So we kind of want to see, we want them to see us as an extension of what they're doing in Spain, and we want to see them as an extension of what we're doing in Boston. And so we're trying to send teams kind of back and forth. They've come out and helped us with our Spanish ministry. Obviously, you know that East Boston has a lot of Spanish speakers, and so we did soccer nights with you guys, and they helped with that. And then when we were there, obviously encouraging them, and then speaking to the students who are there who speak English, right, and helping them with that. So that's been a pretty cool partnership, and I'm hoping that's something that's going to continue. So we will be sending another team, I hope, soon.
Good, good.
Based on that response, I don't know. We'll see. I think that one of the things that I get asked a lot, and they always hear my perspective, so once again, I'm putting you on the spot, but they say, well, I don't feel like I'm gifted enough, or I don't feel like I, you know, I don't speak Spanish, I don't know how I would talk to individuals. Like, what does it look like for an individual who's doubting whether or not they should go? Like, what would you tell somebody in your congregation that maybe was thinking about coming here to encourage them that it's necessary?
Well, I think that most people, when they think of a mission trip, they're thinking about what they can do for our people. For, you know, whether you're going to Spain or Guatemala, you're thinking about what kind of impact can I make there. But I think what you'll find when you leave your comfort zone is that the mission trip, God will use it to actually change you and make you a better Christ follower here in Boston. So it's not so much about what you can do, but about what God will do through that trip in your own heart.
I'll piggyback on that, because when we obviously get a lot of mission teams that come from all over the country, from here, other places, and they want to serve in Boston. And one of the things that I'll ask their leader is, what are you wanting your people going home learning? Right? Because it's probably going to be more of an impact on them than it is going to be on us, right? We get encouraged, we get helped, but it's really, you know, it's your growth in going and understanding the larger kingdom of Jesus, and that we're not a show, right? This isn't like, once again, it's not about us. The Lord is moving all over the world, and you get to unite with people who are also Christ followers, who one day will be in eternity with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a pretty cool thing to get to celebrate. So I encourage you guys to step up in that. Anything you want to share specifically with Church at the Well that I didn't ask you?
I would thank you for your prayer, your support. I'd also encourage you to pray for our family, just as a family, our kids. Our kids are awesome, but we would hope that they themselves will fall in love with Jesus as we serve together as a family. So pray for their conversion. You know, Spain's like Boston. There's probably, like, when they go to school, and there's probably maybe a handful of believers in the entire school. It's not as easy as in other contexts to really find good friends that are gonna lead you toward the Lord. So pray for them, pray for us. We actually get back on Thursday to Spain, Lord willing. We fly out of Boston and pray, because we will be actually moving to a new house the day we get back. So yes.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
goody.
Pray for grace in that. Pray for more gospel workers for Spain. It's like Boston, right? It's not easy to move to Boston and start from scratch and do it for the long haul. Pray for those kind of gospel workers, committed gospel workers. Yeah, and pray for more spiritual fruit, and also pray for our church in this new chapter of our church life. Pray for unity, because we have to. It's like we're always making big decisions with this building, and it's not easy to lead the congregation in unity. So pray for unity, and pray for spiritual fruit through all of this.
Very cool. All right, so what we're going to do is, I have a few more things I want to say, but I think it would be appropriate for us to pray for you. So I would like to ask any of the deacons, Pastor Matt, if you would come up, and if you served on the Spain mission team in November, if you would come up. Rebecca, I don't want to put you on the spot. Would you like to be prayed over? Okay, come on up. And we're just going to lay hands on these guys. And if you would all stand, please.
This day, this time that we can come together and just consider how your hand is being worked and your will is being worked out in both Spain and Boston and throughout the whole world. We thank you for the partnership that we have with Fran and Rebecca and their church. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless both ministries and bless both efforts as we struggle to bring an urban context of ministry to life. We thank you for the passion that you have put into Fran and to Rebecca and their desire to stay in Spain and to see it flourish for the glory of God and for Christ's name. We ask, Lord, that you will be, we will put your hand of protection upon them and their children, and that they will be able to grow strong in the faith and the love of Christ and the knowledge of who you are, to draw them to you in a way that is only recognizable by your love and your grace. We pray for the church there, that it will continue to minister to the students. I pray for our church, as we could desire to minister to young people and students, as a city that is heavy in a population of young people coming for education. I pray for the partnership that we have going forward, that it will continue to be a blessing, that we will honor you in our efforts, our work, our labor, and our finances. God, to you be all the glory and praise and majesty. We lay our lives at your feet to be used and to be instruments of your glory. We thank you, Lord, for Fran and to Rebecca for all that they've done. We thank you for the partnership with Kevin and Christy and the relationship that will continue to grow. We pray, God, that you will constantly be in the midst of what we do in our efforts. In all these things we say, amen, to the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, brother. Thanks, Rebecca. All right, you can be seated. Real quick, you know me, so I can't just stop there. First of all, the reason that we're able to do stuff like this is because of Jesus. Now, I know that some of you in here may be new to church world, and you're trying to figure out what are we doing and what is this all about. The reason that we unite together with other churches, with people around the world on mission, is because Jesus has done something in our life that he can do in yours as well. And so, in a simple way, what the gospel is, it's Jesus lived the life that we were supposed to live, a sinless life. And then he died on the cross for our payment. It says in Scripture that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, somebody has to die as a result of sin. And because of our sin, and we sin against an eternal God, that death penalty is an eternal death. But Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, paid that penalty. 3 days later, rose, conquering sin, Satan, and death forever. After that, he ascended to heaven, now sits at the right hand of the Father. And he offers every one of us an opportunity to put our faith and trust in him and be saved and be reconciled to our Creator. Reconciliation to the Creator does some really cool things. It provides you the purpose that you're looking for in your life because we're restored to the one that actually made us. And so I just encourage you, if that's the first time you've ever heard the gospel or you have questions about that, then ask the questions. You can come talk to me. You could talk to Pastor Fran. You could talk to Pastor Matt. But even better, turn to the person next to you and say, do you know Jesus? And if they say yes, say, can we have a conversation? Make them take you to lunch. They would love to do that. Bring them to a coffee house. I know a good one, and you can get some coffee. But that's why we're united together, and we don't ever want that to be missed. This is about Jesus. It's not about us. And we want his glory, not ours. And I'll end with this. Like, I get asked a lot, like, what does it look like to be on mission? What are some practical things we can do? Some of you are like, I'm not going to Spain. That's fine. But there's other things that you can do. And so the first is I would just encourage you to pray. First, pray for your own heart. If you're not willing to be on mission as a Christ follower, then it's going to be very difficult for you to support mission anywhere else. And so at the very beginning, I mean, take that first step. One of the reasons that we opened coffee houses was for your benefit. It is an opportunity for you to come in at any point, at any of the coffee houses that are open, and sit down and have a conversation with people. It's an open door for you, and it's simple. We ask people their story, tell them your story. And build relationships with people. It begins with relationships. You need to be praying about what mission looks like in your own life. Who are the people that the Lord's bringing around you? What are the daily opportunities that you have to speak and live out gospel truth to the people that are around you? There's all kinds of like gimmicky things you can say. Recently, there was one where it's like, who's your one? Or whatever it's going to be. But the reality is this, the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christ follower, lives in you and will guide you to have the conversations that you need to have and will open doors for you. We just have to be willing to do it. In a city like Boston, we've got to be willing to let our agenda be his. And so the only way that's going to happen is if we're constantly praying. But I'd also encourage you to pray for what's going on around the world. It's a mess. The United States is a mess. The rest of the countries are a mess. It's a mess. And individuals like Fran, who are planting churches in other countries, go through a lot of the same struggles we go through and different ones. But planting is difficult. And we need to understand that and pray for the individuals that are stepping up and committing their lives to see churches planted and people reached. So you need to pray. Second, and this is like if you've been to church world, you're gonna be like, I knew this was coming, but you need to give. I'll tell people all the time, if you're not a member and you're concerned that Church at the Well is about money, then don't give here, give somewhere else, but I just want you to give. We need you to give here, right? But I would tell you, if that's your concern, then just give. Go see Fran. If you don't want to give here because you think this is what it's about, then go see Fran and give to Fran. But you need to give. It costs money to do ministry. And we need that support. And so I'm not going to preach on this right now. I would just say be generous with your giving. One of the things that I'm constantly reminded, Christy and I, as we pray about what we give and who we give to, there's a passage of scripture that says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I would encourage you to find what you're going to give to and give enough that your heart goes with it so that it follows with prayer. And that's something that you can do. Another practical thing here is support the Well Coffee House. The Well Coffee House gives to a lot of organizations in our city. This place is very expensive. It's a benefit that we're here, but it requires funds to make it happen. And so listen, buy coffee. Come in and support it. Give to the Well Coffee House as well. Come in and volunteer as a barista and help us have conversations with people. There are so many opportunities for you within that Well Coffee House ministry, and if you haven't really engaged it, you need to talk to Pastor Matt and let him enlighten you on what is actually happening, because it's incredible. So be praying for that. The Well Coffee House has created quite an opportunity for you as Christ followers to have a voice in this city, because the city hates the church but loves the Well Coffee House. And so you need to utilize that to its greatest extent for the sake of the glory of Jesus. And then the last thing I would tell you is get involved in things like Boston School of Ministry. I mean, I don't know. We don't talk about this a lot, because a lot of times it's like, well, we don't want this to be about us and so on. But you guys realize that you're the ones that have started Boston School of Ministry. Like, there's a seminary that has started in Boston where there is no seminary because of what you guys are willing to do. And more leaders are going to get trained, and more pastors are going to get trained, more ministry leaders are going to get trained, and I would encourage you to educate yourself. There's a new class that's starting, and some of you took the first one. It was an evangelism class, and hopefully you enjoyed it. It is so cheap to take a class and actually get credit for it. You can audit this class for like $150, and it's unbelievable the education you'll get, but support things like that. You guys know that you have influence that's beyond anything that we would have imagined the Lord would have given such a small church. To be able to partner with people like in Turkey and Spain from such a small congregation that's so transient, it's overwhelming. It's about him, not us, right? He's the one that's doing that. The influence that we have with the Red Sox is unbelievable, and you have done that. The influence that we have through the school, the other partners that we partner with in this city, pray for those pastors. Church planting right now in the city of Boston is under attack, and it is hard. Right now, there are more churches closing than opening, and that is not what we want. Internal attacks continue. We've seen a lot of moral failures recently, and the city of Boston is currently under attack, and I'm going to encourage you with this. Jesus said that it's our job to attack the gates of hell, but the gates of hell won't stand. When we think about a city like Boston, a city like Sevilla, from Jesus' words, we have to look at gates are territory that's owned. You can put gates up, and it's our job to attack those gates. The enemy has sometimes the high ground, but we keep attacking. Sometimes we get hit with arrows. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes things fail. But we keep attacking. Why? Because Jesus promised that the gates would not prevail. And I want to encourage you, it looks the same in whatever mission field the Lord's giving you. It may feel hard. It may feel oppressive. It may feel difficult. At times you may get attacked, but the gates of hell will not prevail. So keep attacking the gates. They will fall, because Jesus has already won. All of these things are things that you need to consider, pray about, and get involved. What's going to prevent it is, I think the greatest enemy that we have to mission, especially in the United States, is comfort. We get so comfortable with the idea of the American dream or whatever it is, and creating this lifestyle that we think is supposed to be easy. Recently in men's devotions, I challenged the guys. We know that suffering produces growth. When's the last time you've actually prayed for suffering in your life? What would it look like if a church gave everything that they had for the sake of the gospel? What would it look like if maybe this church did that? How would it change the neighborhood? What would it look like if you actually took the opportunity to have the conversations that the Lord that opens for you in pure boldness and courage and grace to display love and truth? What would it look like? It would change everything. What would it look like if churches around the world, in the name of Jesus, united together to support one another? What would happen? And it starts with you. do for one what you wish you could do for everyone, and the Lord will move. Every week at Church at the Well, we take communion, and it's an opportunity for us to respond. It's an opportunity for us to be reminded that if we're going to see change by His grace, that it's because of what Jesus has done at the foot of the cross. And so if you are a Christ follower, meaning you've put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, then you are welcome to participate in communion here. You don't have to necessarily be a member of Church at the Well. I would say if you don't know Jesus personally and you're feeling like, man, I want to respond in some way, I'm just going to ask, don't take communion. No shame. I just don't want you leaving here with a false hope thinking that you did something religious and everything's good. It's not. You need to know Christ. And this is just it would be a meaningless religious act for you. Instead, do what I said before. Turn to the person next to you, ask them if they know Jesus, and have a conversation. Or come talk to me if you'd like. So the band's going to come up. We're going to sing a couple of songs. The communion elements are on both sides of the platform here. You can come and partake at whatever time you feel that is you're ready. And then I'm just going to ask that you would pray for what is the Lord convicting your heart and what would mission look like in your life, in your everyday life, and maybe is He asking you to participate in something even greater? And it's going to look different for everybody. So let me pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we are grateful that we can lean into you in all things. We are grateful that you don't give up on us. We are grateful that you have a desire to see people come to you. And Lord, oftentimes I think we forget that you desire that even more than we do. So Lord, would you raise up more people? Lord, would you raise up people even in this room who need to be on mission, who are surrounded by individuals who have no idea who you are? Lord, may we live out and speak in boldness and truth and love the gospel of Jesus. I pray right now for any individual that's in here who has no idea who you are. Lord, maybe this is the first time they've heard that you love them, that you care for them, and that you want to save them and restore them to yourself. I pray that right now, even as they sit here, that you would remove the heart of stone, give them a heart of flesh, give them the ability to believe, and give them the boldness and courage to ask questions and talk about it. But Lord, please do not let anyone leave here without knowing you personally. And Lord, I pray for your church. We ask that you would keep us on mission, that would be the heartbeat that we have for you, that we'd be willing to sacrifice and give and love and speak and go. And so, Lord, as your Great Commission says, while we are going, wherever we find ourselves, may the gospel be on the forefront of our hearts and our minds and our mouths. And Lord, may you use that as an opportunity for us to participate in what you're already doing in this world. And we thank you for that privilege. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.